Welcome, everyone, and thanks for being with me this next hour. You're listening to Everyday Astrology with C.A. Brooks on Transcendental Tuesdays here on 1-2 Radio, where we're changing the way we listen to the world. And this is December 10th, 2024, and I have a wonderful guest today, the amazing Mo Abdelbaki, Vedic astrologer and tarot master. So we are going to have, I'm sure, a great conversation today. And most of you know Mo. He has his own radio show on Wednesday afternoons. That's Mo's Paisley Penny Arcade. You also know him from 12listen.com, and he also is on YouTube, and he's the author of multiple tarot decks. So you can find Mo. Many of you already know him, but if you don't, just Google that name and you'll find stuff that he's done. But before we get going today, I have a couple of announcements. One is that I thought I'd just give you a heads up. Next week, which is December 17th, will be our last official show of the year. At least that's the plan for right now. I mean, you know how that goes. Things can change. 1-2 Radio is going to take a break the week of Christmas and the week of New Year's, and we're planning to be back the week of January 6th. And for us, that means on Everyday Astrology, we'd be back on Tuesday, the 7th. But I always say, you never know. Because, you know, historically, we've always done a marathon of prediction shows around the new year. Now, I'm not sure what that's going to look like. I mean, maybe people are going to do their individual shows this year and do predictions. You know, that just becomes an evolving conversation and process. So you never know when something's just going to pop up or somebody's going to say, hey, I'm doing a show today. I mean, we do have those kind of pop-ups shows on 1-2 Radio. So I would just say, make sure that you're signed up for Mark's Power Peak, and then you get announcements, you know, about, I think actually there's another sign up for the radio, but if you're signed up for Mark's Power Peak, you're going to know what's going on with radio too. So if there's going to be a pop-up show, hopefully you will know it, or at least you'll get a little postcard or something. Mark doesn't send out a lot of stuff. So, you know, don't worry about your email just getting blizzards of information. But that way, if there's going to be something, then you're going to know. But otherwise, we'll be here next week on the 17th. And then we'll take that 2-week break. But hopefully, I'm hoping you're happy about this. The Power Peak will not be taking a break. That's that online newsletter. So that's going to, you know, you're going to have all that information. You know, you'll still be connected to the 1-2 family through the Power Peak and through 1-2 Listen. And of course, there will be encores running throughout those 2 weeks on 1-2 Radio. So there's plenty to do. And you know, I always tell people, you can go to On Demand on 1-2 Radio and listen to about 6 months worth of radio shows. So if there's something that you want to hear that you haven't been able to listen to, or you said, oh, I'm going to go back and get that, there's lots of material there. So go just check it out, you know, and some of the advisors do things on YouTube. So go check that out too. All right. And of course, I will be on 1-2 Listen. I'm not taking a break from 1-2 Listen either. If you want to reach me and you don't see me as available, please just, you know, put in a request for a return call, or, you know, a schedule call at a time that's good for you, and I will do my best to be available to you. So let's talk for a few minutes about the cosmic dance for the week of December 9th. Okay, this week's concept or word is adaptability. Now, there's a number of reasons I chose that word. One of them certainly has to do with the number of retrograde planets, including Mercury and Mars, because a lot of times, even though there's, you know, some of those outer planets are still retrograde, it's really Mercury and Mars that tends to be like right up in our face, or at least we think they're up in our face. So both of those being retrograde really teach us the importance of reading energy and going with the flow, knowing how to adjust our pace. That's a big part of it. You know, we always like to think that life is so predictable, but it's really not very predictable most of the time. I mean, I think sometimes things are, but, you know, not really. So adaptability is really one of the words for this week. So as we look at the highlights literally of this week, and I'm just going to do this for a few minutes and then we'll get Mo on the air. But December's full moon at 23 Gemini is going to be this coming Sunday, which is December 15th. And I think it's always interesting to just look at the juxtaposition of things, because this is a full moon. You know, it's the moon in its brightest peak in the midst of the cycle that we're in of shortening days and diminishing light as we move towards the winter solstice, which is going to be on Saturday, December 21st. So I hope that you will take advantage literally, visually, and see that full moon. Of course, it'll be beautiful on Saturday night and on Sunday night as well. So go check that out. But astrologically speaking, I think this full moon, or psychologically, emotionally, it holds a number of messages. But it strikes me that the messages are really shifting from one thing to the next. Hurry up, slow down. And there again, look who's in charge of this moon. It's the Gemini twins. And I'll tell you, as I've been thinking about this week and I was writing my article for Mark's Power Peak, I could swear I could just hear them giggling. You know, just giggling in the background, you know, thinking of how we're struggling to get those messages and apply them to our lives. So I want you to kind of hold that as an image, too, of those Gemini twins. Maybe they're a little ornery, I don't know, mischievous or whatever you want to call it, but they're kind of giggling. They're not, you know, they're not taking any of this really too seriously. And of course, the ruler of Gemini is Mercury. And it's basically crawling in the sky right now, or at least visually that's what it looks like to us, because it's going to go direct. It's going to stop that retrograde motion midday on Sunday. And so they're just, you know, having their ruling planet moving retrograde makes it even, I'd say, a little more fun for them, right? And by the way, the moon will be in Gemini for 2.5 days, but certainly during that full moon. So see, I think they're really enjoying, you know, that little part of it. And remember too, the full moon in Gemini is a storyteller. And so when you think about stories, what are the kind of stories you like? In fact, somebody told me recently they saw a movie, and the movie was based on a true story, but the details had been changed because the makers of the movie thought the real story just wasn't interesting enough. You know, it had to have some drama. So instead of saying, oh yeah, here's the situation, we went in and we did this, they had to make it like, okay, it almost didn't happen. And over here, this was going on. Hurricane here, whatever. You know, we need to make life more interesting is what we think. So when you look at those kind of stories, we want excitement, mystery, and unexpected twists. But just remember, we really are ultimately the storytellers. We're weaving those facts and a touch of imagination. We're creating the interpretations of our experiences. And I think it's okay, probably, to add a little drama. But, you know, it's probably better if you know you're adding the drama. You know, if you know that you're the director going, hey, this real story isn't interesting enough, I've got to add something to it. So, you know, just try to keep that in mind, that we really are deciding the interpretations of all of those facts. So you can either take charge of that or not. But I would say, especially with the Gemini twins, play with the energy this week, even those backward motion planets, Mars and Mercury and a few others. But remember, too, what that kind of does is it makes us feel like that hurry up, slow down, because things just seem to change very quickly. But, you know, as we're looking at things and adjusting our pace, remember, everything doesn't have to happen all at the same time. You know, so often we have all these things on our to-do list, but do they really have to all occur at the same time? I mean, what if they don't? What if something doesn't happen until January? Or what if we decide not to do that until tomorrow? Just remember, you know, who's creating the urgency in your life? I mean, just think about that. And also think about the fact that sometimes when we want something to be moving quickly, like Mars, planet of action, well, when we think it's retrograde, we think nothing's happening. But that's not true. So many things in life, and I give the example of a woman being pregnant or baking a cake, you know, it's in the oven, so to speak, and everything is happening even though it hasn't come to fruition. So don't think that Mars retrograde means nothing's happening. We're laying down foundations. We're strategizing. We're putting things together. Now, another thing about being so important in terms of being able to adapt, the image that came to my mind, and I may have shared this with you before, but years ago when I was living in Colorado, I decided to go rafting, and it was spring, and so actually probably not the best time to go rafting for the first time because the creek or the river was very, very high. So, you know, we've got these guides that are telling us what to do. And one of them says, now, when you fall off the raft, this is what you do. And so I go, wait, don't you mean if we fall off the raft? And he goes, no, I mean when you fall off the raft. And the water's very, very cold. So, I mean, you have to get out of the water as quickly as possible. So he's telling us what to do, you know, and how to place our feet and how to catch up with the raft, because, of course, the raft is going faster than you are. So, or whatever, you know, and it depends on the eddies and the currents and all of that. So I'm like, okay, I'm not sure this is what I signed up for. But in any case, I wasn't in that raft, I don't know, a minute or two before. I was the first one that got tossed into the air. And when I came back down, there was no raft, you know, and all I could think was, what did he say? What did he say? Which direction are my feet supposed to be facing? What was I supposed to do? And of course, the shock of the cold water, you know, doesn't help trying to make that decision. But, you know, it's like, that's what life does too. And we should expect that lots of things are going to happen. You know, being adaptable, being flexible is a good thing, because when we can read the conditions and adapt, then things just don't seem so scary. So whatever's coming up for you, you know what, just think of it as those Gemini twins. They are always going to be able to think of something new, to be clever, innovative, and ingenious, and quickly switch agendas or tactics, all of that kind of stuff. So be flexible in your expectations, welcome the mystery and the magic, and know that powerful forces are at play, which could teach us very valuable lessons. And a shift in perspective is always the answer. And one other thing, I've told you this before, Melissa Pierce, who is a woman who does a pretty extensive program with psychology and horses in Colorado, is somebody I subscribe to her daily message. And it was funny because her message yesterday, and I'm paraphrasing, said, when you're climbing the ladder of success, make sure it's leaning against the right barn. And I'll tell you what, I just laughed and I loved that for a couple of reasons. One, because that's it. We're frantically doing something and sometimes we don't even know. Maybe that ladder isn't leaning against anything. And all we're doing, you know, especially it made me think of the Mars retrograde. We're just scrambling. And, you know, where are we scrambling to? You know, do we have enough structure to withhold what we're doing? But the other thing is when she said leaning against the right barn, because you know what? We do change our minds from time to time. We change our purpose. And retrogrades are really great for getting us into another mindset. So maybe we are thinking a little bit differently. We're doing something different. So that is my introduction for today. We're going to get Mo on the show. And I would also invite you to join us over in the private group on Facebook, which wasn't coming up for me, but here it is. So, hey, everybody that's already there, thank you so much for coming in. Hey, James, it's always good to see you. And Leslie, thank you. And always thank you for the pictures. And sometimes people put up a cup of coffee or something like that. And I particularly like that. Quelly, thank you for being here today. So, and let's see what Leslie is saying. Pop-up shows are nice for Capricorn since 1-2 Radio is on break on our birthdays. I hope you'll have a lovely break. Thank you, Leslie. That's a really nice message. So if you want to join us, the easiest way to get over there is to go to 1-2radio.com. And there is a button that you can click on that says chat. And when you do that, it automatically takes you over to Facebook. So if you want to join us in that room, please come on over. But for right now, I want to introduce, speaking of wonderful and phenomenal storytellers, my friend Mo Abdelbaki. Good morning, Mo. Thanks for
Good morning.
Being.
Hi. How are you?
Good. You have some stories for us?
That's risky.
Oh,
that's
yes,
always
I,
risky.
I know. But talking about, you know, those Gemini twins and their stories, I thought, oh, it's perfect to have Mo on the show today.
One of my favorite stories of the twins is with Simonides of Athens. Do you know that one?
No. Or if I do, I don't know what is that name. So, yeah,
he
tell
was,
us.
Simonides of Athens was a great mnemonic guy. He was a memory expert. And he went to a big banquet. And there was a knock on the door at this big banquet. And, you know, that someone came in and said, Simonides, you've been called to the door. So he went to the door, and it was the Dioscuro, it was the two twins who were Castor and Pollux.
Uh-huh.
It was them. And they were like, oh, well, why are they there? You know, and in the meantime, there was an earthquake, and everyone in the big banquet was destroyed. They were killed.
Oh.
And he turned around, they were gone. And it was like, wow, that was weird. And so they said, oh no, we don't know who was there. We don't know who anyone is. But he had such a great memory that he was able to tell exactly who had been sitting in what spot. So that's just a great story, because the Dioscuro, the Castor and Pollux, had come to him, the Gemini twins, and they chose him obviously because he had such a great memory, so that he could then tell who had been in what place at the banquet. So that's kind of a cool story, because it talks about the twins and about their brilliance and their genius, and they chose Simonides to have a great memory. I just like that
Yes.
story. So
Yes.
it's a little disgusting, but it's one of
Well,
those things.
you know how that is. Those Greek and mythological gods, what are, let's see, Greek and Roman, and all the
Right.
stuff they did is pretty funny.
Right.
You know, I
The
love studying,
squee.
I don't know a lot of depth about mythology, but I certainly like it. And the one thing I recognize so often that I didn't know before, I mean, 20, 30 years ago, is how often you look at almost anything in our life and it's one of those myths.
Oh,
You know, there's,
everything,
when you say there's nothing new under the sun, it's like it's amazing how many of those things, they're just one myth after another, just being retold in a different way or to a new generation.
I was stunned. I mean, I was raised in a well, not in a different culture, but my parents were Muslim, they were from Egypt. And I read the Bible. The first time I read the Bible, I was 18 years old, because we had gone to the Oyster Festival in Morro Bay, California, and there were no oysters. So we stayed at a Motel 6, and the Gideon's Bible was there. And we had a wonderful weekend, my parents and my family and I. But I read the Bible, and I still have that Gideon's Bible. And I read the Bible that weekend, and I enjoyed it thoroughly. But what more than that, I was absolutely stunned at how much of it is responsible for Western culture,
Yes.
Because it is as much ingrained. So between Roman and Greek mythology and the Bible, you've got our culture. That's it.
Right.
Yeah,
That's
and I was
right.
like, what in the world, And I know a lot of people are like, what? He didn't. But I grew up watching Davy and Goliath on TV, and I knew that that was a lot of it. And I grew up watching sermons and stuff like that because it fascinated me. Oral Roberts, I tore my knee ligaments first time ever I went skiing, which led to one of the premier axioms of my life: Egyptians should not ski. And my kid brother tried to prove that wrong, and he's been through several injuries. I keep telling him, axiom number one, Egyptians do not ski, little brother, but he keeps injuring himself, but he doesn't believe it. And I'm sure there are very successful skiers who are, Egyptian, but they don't listen either. But it's really weird, because you look at the books that we use to form our, for example, the seven liberal arts and sciences are all based on Greek and Roman writings, astronomy and astrology, and not astrology. Ha! Wouldn't that be
Yeah.
fun?
Mathematics.
Mathematics, and I used to know them all. I'm not going to, argue. Oh, geez, I used to know them all, but I won't waste our time with that. But it's quite phenomenal when you really sit down and look at the pillars. Actually, those were the Tuscan, the Doric, the Ionic, that sort of thing. But when you look at what we've based our culture on, it's old. It's a lot of old stuff. And it's quite fascinating that so much of it is based upon the Greek and Roman cultures and their mythologies. And you kind of go, why? Why? And it's a good question. Why? A lot of it also, there's a lot of druidic stuff in there, which we might call Celtic, but a lot of druidic stuff. For example, what's coming up on the 21st here at 2:20 in the morning, although I won't be up to watch it, which is, of course, the solstice. 2:20 my time. The solstice is very important, at least it was once upon a time. There will be druids or ersatz druids or reformed druids. The real druidic system, I think, is kind of gone, but the real druids were really cool. They weren't gentle people the way people like to portray them. Not at all. Julius Caesar was afraid of the Druids for pretty good reason. They did things like human sacrifice. A lot of people go, oh, no. They didn't do that. But they did. They found the people, the bog people, who were, sacrificed. And these, people, we human beings were very different at one time than we are now. Although, no, I don't think we're
I
that
was going to
different.
say, I kind of think the opposite. In fact, if anything, like, when you were asking why, why do we base it on the mythology? And I would kind of go back to, yeah, because there's nothing anything new. We think it is like, especially when we're kids or we see a movie and we go, oh my God, what a great idea, and that is so cool. But then when you dissect the real themes of the movie, it goes right back to the mythology. And it appeals to us. It appeals to that kind of primitive psychology somehow. So now why, I probably can't answer that question, but I do think very little changes in our
Yeah, I think you're
psychology,
right.
regardless of the idea that we think we're so awake or we think that we're so enlightened. And I'm not saying that some of what we do isn't worth it. I'm just saying that, yeah, that mythology is steeped deeply into our psychology as
It's
people.
the same stories over and over and over
Over
again.
and over, and
They're,
we love them. That's
we
it.
do.
We love those stories, whether we're sitting around a fire, thousands of years ago, or whether we're sitting in a, a movie theater with all the surround sound. It's like we love the stories. And, I think especially the stories of good conquering evil, or the good guy winning. And I, in fact, every once in a while, there will be a movie that is so disturbing to me. And when I really break it down, in fact, one movie that got an Academy Award, it was something Clint Eastwood did years ago, The Unforgiven, maybe, or something like that. I just came out of there so disturbed. And I realized it was because, I mean, there were several reasons, but one was because the bad guys were acting good and the good guys were acting bad. And it's like, no, that's not how it's supposed to be. I don't want that mixture. And they also didn't, it wasn't a typical cowboy movie where somebody gets shot, he grabs his chest and drops to the ground. Instead, they showed kind of sort of what the misery is of dying from a gunshot slowly. And but I remember going, oh my God, I hope I can erase this movie from my mind. And then it got Best Picture of the Year. But that's it. I think we are disturbed when something goes against the grain of what we want to be true, but especially with a mythology. And yet, that very idea of good guys being bad and bad guys being good, that's mythological as well.
I am not thrilled about wanting to. I don't want to see this movie, this new Gladiator film,
Oh no, me neither.
because it's filled with gore. On a commercial, they show this guy with two swords getting ready to decapitate a guy, and that's on a TV commercial.
Oh my God.
And little kids see that TV commercial, and he's covered with blood. And I'm thinking, this is on TV, and kids are seeing this, and I'm loath to see that. I don't want to see it, and I doubt we will watch it because, and if we do, it's like, oh, okay, whatever. We've become inured to that sort of thing. It's common everyday thing. And there was one show. The Blacklist that we watched, and there was one scene, I counted 30 people dying in a minute, 30
Oh my
people.
gosh.
And it was one scene, and I thought, this is insanity, insanity. It's common, it's, you know, there are these FBI shows, and people drop like flies in those shows. And it's every single week. Every week, you know, there's a show we like, it's called Shetland, you know, it's on BBC, and it's a wonderful show. I really like it. You know, Shetland is in the Outer Hebrides, I think, or it's via the Orkneys or whatever it is. And you, we have to watch it with the second, what are the second, what is it? Where you see the words.
Closed captioning.
That's it. Oh, my God. I'm getting really old.
Well, no, because of the British accents?
Yeah. Oh, my God. They're Scottish, you know, and the accents are just unbelievable. So they say things like daughter, you know, which I call my daughter now, my daughter, you know. But and it's wonderful. The accents are incredible. And they're just lyrical, but without the closed captions, there's not a chance. So, yes. And I'm finding that true in regular television now. And they're saying that that's partially because of the sound systems in these new TVs. They're terrible. Mm-hmm. But anyway, so they don't have that type of blood and guts, except for Midsummer, which does it as a lark. They say they do that on purpose. But they don't have the same level of violence that we do here in this country. But they also have this little island of Shetland in the Hebrides is like Cabot Cove, you know, in Murder, She Wrote. And that there's a murder every week. You know, it's that type of thing. And you go, wow, I'd love to live there, maybe, but maybe not, because
maybe
people
not
die.
If there's
but
a murder every week.
That's
and,
right.
And,
but it's.
And as an aside, some of my, I would say this is just so classic. The men in my family, you know, I've got a fairly large extended family here, and everybody wanted to go to the movies. Only the men went because they chose Gladiator, and that's what was so funny. So nephews went, brother-in-laws went, brothers went, but none of the women.
Right.
And
well,
when the guys all came home, they said, not worth it. That was not a good movie. And so I thought, you know, just so that you'll know, none of them thought that movie was even worth seeing.
And didn't you think
not
to yourself,
one of them.
Didn't you think to yourself, good?
Well, I just thought, if this isn't somehow classic, then not one of the wives, one of the sisters, one of the nieces wanted to go see the movie.
Yeah,
you know,
mean, really.
And they all liked the first one, and that's why they thought this would be good. But they went, no, this was like so not worth it.
Well, good. I'm sorry, but I'm glad to hear that, because the big sell on this thing was a CGI rhinoceros, you know, covered in blood, and it's like, I don't want to see that. And they had one thing where they had CGI baboons, you know, computer generated baboons tearing humans up. I don't want to see that. If there's enough violence in the world that I see on the evening news, you know, I'm disturbed by the world. I don't want to be disturbed by my entertainment.
Right.
That just, I mean, for God's
That's
sake,
right.
Entertain me, make me laugh, make me cry, but not because of the inhumanity of human beings toward each other. You know, make me cry because of something that is beautiful. You know.
Yes.
For God's sake, if there is a God, make me feel something passionate. And make me feel something wonderful. Don't make me regret being a human.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And that is what art is about. This retrograde has really, really been doing things to me as far as creativity.
Now, are you talking about Mercury or are you talking about Mars?
Both.
You say this retrograde. Okay.
Yeah, these retrogrades, and including Jupiter.
Yeah.
These three planets, I mean, I couldn't sleep for part of last night because of these incredible creative things that have been going on inside of me. It's been unbelievable. And I like I said, I couldn't sleep. These ideas, I'm thinking I need to sleep, but these ideas are churning through me, just, you know, pocket of machines, as Thurber put it. And it's just unbelievable. And you know, one is a tarot deck, and I have the really good fortune of my son-in-law being one of the best artists I've ever met in my life. And I think he's going to work with me. He's an incredible artist, brilliant, brilliant. He's a genius, I think. He's also a tattoo artist. So if I could just find 78
the tattoo,
people.
I can see it now. The tattoo. Yeah. You know,
well, and I'm not going to talk about it because I've found that when I talk about some projects, it's like putting a small pinhole in a balloon, and it just kind of hisses out. But I think I'm beginning to piece something together that could last a very long time, just as far as the aesthetic value of it. It could be a magnificent, magnificent deck that could last decades, maybe who knows how much longer it would be, because he has the skill to pull. I'm a cartoonist, more or less, you know? And that's really where my, as a matter of fact, I'm doing a cartoon now. I've done 2 pages of it, and I'm just, who knows how long before I get bored with it. I'm working on the third page. I mean, this is the type, and I'm writing at the same time. It's like, what's going on? That's the power of these planets being retrograde. And what they're doing is they're sending down feelers inside of me, and they're probably doing it to you too, and to everybody.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And folks out there listening, take advantage of this. Make notes. If it's not actively tormenting you and torturing you, I was going to say torchenting. I like that. Lewis Carroll made up words. He made up words like chortling and galumphing. Uh-huh. And you should do that, you know, torchenting you. Make notes. Take a stock of what's happening to you, because this is a time to be in contact. I see it as tendrils going deep down inside of me, and really, I can't control it.
Mm-hmm.
It's wonderful.
Well, yeah, and you know what I would say from a Western astrology standpoint, I love what you're saying, because I think it explains, or it's a description or an experience of Mars moving retrograde in the sign of Leo. And I say that because I think that, you know, Mars in Leo is about finding our own unique self-expression. And it is about creativity. You know, when you think about Leo, we are each performers on our own stage. And maybe some of us will get a lot of attention. You know, maybe some of us will be the Taylor Swifts of the world. However, you know, we all have something that in a sense we came to perform, we came to do, and the self-expression. But when Mars then moves retrograde, the planet of action, that all goes inside. And I think this is a very potent time for people finding their creativity, their personal self-expression, and coming out with it in a new way. But there again, just like you're talking about, it's kind of brewing. It's sitting there. It's percolating. We may not see it for a while. We may just be in these internal kind of going back and forth and thinking things over. And yeah, I kind of had a brainstorm too one day, sitting here and going, oh my God, I've got this idea for a deck, and maybe I'll go that way. And I have talked to a couple of people about it, because like you, I know some really good artists. And so I went to a couple of them and I said, hey, I've got this idea. I really think we should pursue it. You know, and you guys, we all do the artwork. 4 of us would do the artwork. And mm-hmm. I just thought, you know, I said, we need to come up with a name for the group. And then we, you know, we do all these paintings, these, you know, whatever you want to call them, all, and they'd probably all be different. But you know, that's what it was like. I was just sitting here going, oh my God, wouldn't that be cool? So yeah. That's what Mars The planet of action in self-expression in Leo, I want to perform. I want to, you know, I want to put a piece of me out there somehow. That's what's going on for all of us. And it will manifest in different ways. Some people will create a relationship. Some people will create a deck of cards, but we're creating something. But while it's retrograde, and then even in the months afterwards, trying to put the pieces together through the spring, you know, it's a very potent, valuable time period.
Yeah. I've been playing music, been playing my Anasazi flute again, and really making strides on, just playing, just learn how to play it properly again. Mm-hmm. And I mean, it's just phenomenal what's happening. This is a time for doing, not just contemplating, you know. Mm-hmm. And Tarot is such a self-expressive medium.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to be caught up in saying something like the Seven of Discs is failure. The Seven of Discs is what you want it to be.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can stand by. I mean, if you want to get a deck published by, what is it, U.S. Games, then you have to present them a deck that they say, okay, that's what a Tarot deck looks like. But if you want to do it yourself, call it whatever you want. Do whatever mm-hmm. you want to do. There's something about that that's very pleasing. You can be who you want to be with Tarot. You can do what you want to do with it. And that's an important aspect of it, I think. But mm-hmm. if you want to have them publish it, that's a different game.
Right. Well, and it's funny because as you were saying those words, be who you want to be, do what you want to do. Aren't those the lyrics of a Cat Stevens song?
I think they are.
I think I can hear it in my head.
And a Mamas and Papas song too. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. That's funny. Now that'll just be drilling through my head all morning. But
That's where something like Spotify what I love about the new music today is that for like $11 a month, I think it went up just this month, I can listen to any song ever recorded, mm-hmm. which is mind-boggling to me.
Isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah. If someone had told me when I was buying albums for an outrageous $7 a piece back in 1972, because it took me a long time to make $7, you know? Mm-hmm. A long time that I could listen to any album ever recorded, any song ever recorded. I was driving in my car the other day and I thought, I want to hear Midnight at the Oasis by Maria Muldaur, which was the song that I was in love with that voice, you know, when I was an adolescent male driving home at 2 a.m. from my job, or 3 a.m. at Jack in the Box, you know, in the summertime. And it came on and I thought, what miracle is this?
Yes.
What miracle is this? And once again, I was 18, you know, just driving home at night in the summertime with the windows down in my old 1961 Thunderbird, you know, that barely drove. And it's amazing what we can do nowadays. But there's something miraculous about that to me, that mm-hmm. all the music, and then I was able to listen to Benny Goodman's Down South Camp Town Meeting. You know?
Oh, yes.
Yeah. I mean, when we have that kind of ability to change a mood in a split second, wow.
Well,
wow.
And isn't that the truth? That's exactly what it is.
Yeah.
Putting on a song and listening to a song that either takes you into the past or just changes your mood.
Yeah.
You know?
Go ahead. I was just going to say, let me say it's Fletcher Henderson's Down South Camped Out Meeting, and it's far superior than Benny Goodman's. I'm just going to say that. Okay.
Yes. Well, yeah. And here's one. Dean Martin and Ricky Nelson sang a song in a John Wayne movie, believe it or not, called Rio Bravo, I think was mm-hmm. the name of the movie. And it's a weird song by title because it's My Gun, My Pony, and Me, I think is the name. So it's sort of like not exactly the song that you'd think I'd want to listen to, right? But it is the sweetest melody with these, you know, with the kind of harmony of Dean Martin and Ricky Nelson with the guitar. Yeah. And I love, love, love that song. And just like you said, you know, saw it in a movie years and years ago, but now I can literally tell one of my devices, play that song by Dean Martin and Ricky Nelson, and it'll right. play it. And I'm just like, I'm kind of in a little bit of heaven between those two very melodic, sweet voices. And to me, it's just an incredible, it's a very short song. And yeah, because in a John Wayne movie, you know, a Western. But it's like, it's so incredibly sweet. And you can, it's common though to find the Dean Martin version that he put on an album. But it's much, much harder to get or to find the Ricky Nelson version. But I'm telling you, it is just so incredibly sweet.
Isn't it fun to find those little songs from your youth that just... For example, for me, it's The Monkey's Uncle by Annette Funicello and the Beach Boys, which was the theme song to that movie by the same name, The Monkey's Uncle.
Yeah.
You know. Which is a great, it's a great song, great song.
Yeah, so maybe this is retrograde too, going into the past. You know, and like you said, I love what you said about changing your mood, because I tend to have all these playlists with just kind of weird eclectic collections. And the other day it was the same kind of thing. I'm driving in the car and this song comes on. I go, oh my God, I just haven't heard this in so long, and it's so sweet and I love it. And that's it. It was like a mood changer. You know, I was just almost mesmerized by it.
See, I have a song list that I put together that's 7 days long.
Oh my gosh.
And I keep adding to it, you know, but it's songs that I like. And I was surprised when it was 7 days long. But so there's not a song on it that I don't want to listen to, but there are songs that I don't want to listen to now, you know. But it's kind of funny that I thought, wow, do I like music that much? And I realize, sure.
Yes, you do.
Yeah, I do. That's one of those things that music is. You know, we have, and there are songs that are the background of certain parts of our lives, you know. Mm-hmm. For example, the 60s, Burt Bacharach, you know, and the Tijuana Brass, and you know exactly what I'm talking about,
CA. Yes, I do.
There was a time when you couldn't watch television without hearing the Tijuana Brass. It was just impossible. The Dating Game and the Newlywed Game and, you know, those shows, that's what it was. That was the music that they used. And it was a kind of a wonderful time in some ways, you know. It was a time of hope. That's what I'll say. It was an upbeat time. I don't think this is an upbeat time. So we have to be upbeat. And I am.
Well, and you know, even just saying what you said, sometimes I forget, or maybe we don't focus on enough of the things that are really wonderful. I mean, how incredible is it that we can just pull any song and listen to it that has ever been recorded? That is a phenomenal thing. I mean, as a child, if you would tell, you know, I remember listening to the radio and being there again. I remember when I was really young, I would hear a song I loved and I was just like, oh my God, where'd that come from? I mean, it was almost like it just came out of the air. And I thought, when do you ever know if it's ever going to come back? And see, I had no idea what a radio show really was. So I had no idea they were in there playing records. You know what I mean?
Right.
But eventually, and then of course, I know they play records, but how do you get those records? And like you said, my first album, I think, was $2.99. It was the Beatles. It was the Beatles, and it was $2.99, you know, big LP. But it's sort of like being able to control music, being able to control when you could see a movie. I mean, that's like a phenomenal thing. So, you know, even focusing on just that, how wonderful is it that we can access almost any music, any movie, if that's our thing? You know, it strikes me as an Aquarian principle. Pluto's in Aquarius, but, you know, the Aquarian principle of shared You know, we
Right.
share all these things together. Now we have to pay a little bit into the collective to be able to access them, but it's shared. You know, these aren't just private collections anymore. They're shared.
And you know what? I'm willing to pay for that. So, for
Yep.
example, I donated to Wiki. What's it called?
Wikipedia.
Wikipedia. I donated to Wikipedia just yesterday, as a matter of fact. Or no, 2 days ago. I was looking something up that was obscure, and it's not always accurate, but it said we need it, you know, we need it. I gave them, and I don't have a lot of money, but I gave them a fair amount of money. And I thought, I use this thing a fair amount, and it's always willing to tell me something, even if it's wrong. So I'm going to go
ahead. Or lead
you
someplace else.
That's right.
You know, provoke a new idea.
I said, I really like this thing. And I actually give every year because it's like the ACLU. I like the ACLU, and I donate to the ACLU as well. Mm-hmm. I believe that when you have a resource that you like, even if it's a subscription, I don't like subscribing to apps that I think you should be able to own, some of them, but that's a different thing. For something like any song you want to hear ever, you should pay for it. It's worth it. It's worth a monthly fee, you know, to hear any song ever recorded any time you want. Sure. Yeah. I'm willing to pay for that. You know, I mean, we're in the car and my wife says, I want to hear Patsy Cline sing this, you know, she gets upset that my Siri won't let her talk to it. You know, she thinks she should be able that my Siri should take her voice, and it's like she's insulted by that. And I'm saying, well, you know, it's a matter of, you know, it has a crush on me, and that's the deal.
Yeah, that's a deal. So. Well, you know, and my dad, who, I mean, just an aside, almost every night when I see him, you know, I check his phone for texts, etc., because he has no idea. I mean, though I can show him, he just...
I have little idea.
He's a Taurus, by the way, and he just refuses to learn. So I go, okay, so I delete a bunch of texts, or I say, okay, so-and-so sent you a picture. He goes, okay, show it to me. So then I show him the picture, but it's so funny because now he has gotten into, he'll go, I wonder what, you know, if this team beat that team last year. He goes, ask your phone. That's what he always says. Ask your phone. And of course, I want to go, ask your phone.
Yeah.
All you have to do is push that button and ask.
It irritates me when I ask my phone to recite something and it won't do it. You know, it's like, recite this for me. And it says, I found this on the web. And I'm thinking, I'm not in a position to look it up. I asked you to recite it for me.
Yeah.
You know, damn it.
Yeah. Yep.
But it doesn't.
For sure. It's kind of funny. And well, and there again, think about that. Is that not just incredible that we can just ask our phone? I mean, in fact, to me, this is one of the funniest stories because I was watching a basketball game with my dad, and the floor of where they were playing, it was a college game. The floor obviously looked totally stained, like somebody, you know, they had redone the floor and had made a big, big mistake. There was this big stain in the middle of the floor.
Right.
And I said to my dad, I said, oh, my God, how come they didn't clean that up? Or why are they still, why are they not doing something about that? And he goes, well, I don't know. Ask your phone, you know. So sure enough, I thought, is my phone going to find this? But sure enough, I Googled it and just said, what's that big stain on the floor of West Virginia's, you know, basketball court? And they came back and they said, that's the state of West Virginia.
Whoa.
It's the outline. Of
oh, I'll be doggone. Oh, but
when you think about the what the shape of West Virginia is, now imagine that as kind of a tea stain color on the middle of the floor.
Okay.
I mean, that's like,
well, you know, we do that. I do that all the time when I want to know something and it knows it. You know, so
it did. I mean, it knew exactly what that was. But I was shocked that it knew. Because like I said, I thought, oh my God, something happened to that floor and they just haven't fixed it yet. But it turns out that's what it was. So it was an amazing thing that they knew. You know, just an amazing thing. But there again, learn something new every day. That's a
I think that's
West Virginia,
kind of my
right
motto.
The floor.
That's kind of my motto, and I really believe in that. If you're not learning, then what are you doing?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
What are you doing? And I think that's what this period for me, I love those tendrils that are sending down feelers inside of me and are saying, wake up.
Yeah,
you know,
Jupiter
there's something to do.
In Gemini, yeah.
Yeah.
Jupiter,
oh, yeah.
Gemini, and Mars in Leo. All right, well, we got to do a wrap on this. That was a wonderful story, though, about that. Thank you for sharing that you've got that creative juice flowing, and I hope that inspires other people as well. So do you want to make any announcements before we close the show?
No, I think the one thing people should be doing, though, is being excited, really excited. Yeah, be excited about life. Be excited. Don't be afraid of anything. Look, if you're freaked out about what's going on right now in this country or in the world, don't be. Be alert and be alive and be excited about things. This is a very cool time to be around. Trust me. You're going to be pretty amazed at how things work out.
That's yes. All. I agree. Thank you, Mo. And thank you for being here. And I realize we didn't even look at 2025, but I'm sure we will do that in January.
Yeah, you know? I'm not making any more predictions.
Okay. Well, yeah, but there again, you kind of did just tell us what you think. And that is that things are going to be exciting, that we, you know, that we just need to stay awake and adapt.
What's happening now is dominoes are being set up.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Well, Mo, thank you so much.
You're welcome.
For
hey,
being
everybody,
on the show today.
Happy holidays.
Yeah, happy holidays to you too, Mo. Thank you so much. And everybody, thank you for joining us today, to all the listeners and everybody in the chat room. And by the way, Tara posted a picture of coffee. Thank you, Tara. I love that. And to everybody else who joined us, I think, oh, and it looks like Pamela came in. So, hey, thank you. And I may have missed some people, and sorry about that, but thank you. I will go back and see all your notes after the show. Thank you so much for being here today and for joining us. I hope you do have happy holidays. But remember, we do have one more show coming up next week, and then we'll take a break. But we will be available on 12listen.com. And, of course, the Power Peak will be out on schedule. So we're still here. There's still a way to connect with us. Thanks also to our producer, Jay Varvel. And I want to encourage you to stay tuned, because I'm joining Kelly Whetstone today on Empowerment. This is our monthly meeting of the minds. So please stay tuned and be available for that. We'd love to see you. And sometimes we do readings, sometimes we don't. I'm not quite sure what we're going to do today, but please join us if you can. And keep your sense of humor. This is CA signing out. You have been listening to Everyday Astrology with my guest, Mo Abdelbaki, on 12 Radio, where we're changing the way we listen to those retrogrades.